All right. I hope you had enough to eat. I won't be long because before service in the mornings, you usually can't compete with lunch. So you got to hurry. Now that you've already had lunch, I can't compete with naps. Okay. And if I can help you get started on your nap earlier, just let me know. All right. Tune me out and go right for it. But I won't be long. Thank you for being here. I hope you're at our picnic tomorrow. We always have a great time with that. Getting into the message, has anybody ever suggested something to you and it turned out to be a letdown, right? Someone will say, you got to try this restaurant. It is the best thing ever. How many ever done that? It's like, did I go to the wrong place, right? Remember one time we were on vacation. We were going through Idaho. We stopped for lunch, and I don't know. I know. I guess you're a boomer, right? I like museums. How many know I'm talking about, right? Anybody else like museums? Okay, the boomers. Thanks. Okay, so we're there, and we were. It's like, hey, they had this museum called the Museum of Clean. That sounds lame, but it was actually really neat. We all went there and hung out there, and they had this big, like, metal ball inside, like two or three stories we hung out in. So then we're leaving, and you're going through Idaho, and Idaho's known for potatoes. And I'm like, the potato museum is right here. We got to go see it. I mean, this is Idaho, right? This is what they do. And we went, and we had to go a couple miles off the freeway there. And I'll be honest with you, it was the worst museum I've ever been to. It was like 100 years old. It was dirty, and they're like, you know, and I like going to museums, and they're like, thanks, Dad. And I'm like, now the next time I suggest going to a museum, they're not going to want to go. So I'll just give you a heads up there. If you're ever in Idaho, go to the Museum of Clean. Stay away from the Museum of Potatoes. But there's things that let us down in life. And in looking at this story, I see a time when Jesus' disciples, in a specific situation, let him down. Yeah. Jesus is telling his disciples here, of course, if you look at chapter 26, there's only 28 chapters in the book, it's getting to the end. He's getting ready to be arrested. He's getting ready to go to the fake trial. He's about ready to be crucified. And he has already told them about the upcoming resurrection. Yes, he's going to die. Yes, he is going to arise from the grave. And he even told them where to meet him afterwards. Said, make sure you come meet. Here's where I'll come see you. He had been with them for 3 years. He had been there for them. They spent all this time with him. Now he is going away. He is coming to a place of misery, physically speaking. And here his men can be with him and be an encouragement to him. They had swore, you know, when he told them, you're going to deny me and you're going to do all this. They all swore, you know how men are. We will never let you down. And then Peter steps up. They can all deny you, but I'll never deny you. We're all going to die for you. And of course, we're going to see how that plays out. So they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where Jesus, the end, he's about ready to get arrested. He's feeling it in his humanity, and his men are there. He tells them that he's going to go a little bit further, and he asks them to he's going to go pray. And naturally, they should have been praying for him, and they should have been here for him. But how did that turn out? Look at Matthew 26 again, and we'll look at the verses that are after verse 39 where we stopped. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again, and he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he that is at hand doth betray me. They should have got it. They should have been there. They should have done the things that he asked him to do in his time of, you say, but he's God. He's God in the flesh. I know, but he was human. And this was a very human time for him. He was feeling all that pressure. He knew it was coming. And by the way, he was doing it willingly. I understand all that. But he asked his men, his key guys, to do some things, and they just couldn't do it. Now, I understand he's the Lord, and he understands who they are. But let's think for a minute. I'm thinking in my mind, did I let the Lord down? I didn't do the things he asked me to do. I would never want to let the Lord down. But why do we let the Lord down? Because in our lives, sometimes we face spiritual letdowns. And we allow that to get to us, and in the things that we do, we're letting him down. But what are some of the things that can keep us from a spiritual letdown, right? All of us, we have our ups and downs in our lives. That's understandable. Sometimes we have our ups and downs in our spiritual life. And that's okay, as long as they're not too far down and they're not too often. But you know, the best thing to do is to put things in place that will help us to stay on the spiritual right track so that we don't let the Lord down and we don't let ourselves down spiritually. So here are some things, very briefly, that will help us to avoid spiritual letdowns. First of all, strive to be faithful. Just strive to be faithful. Look at verse 40. And he said, and he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? By the way, if they were asleep, why did he pick out Peter? Anybody want to guess? Yeah, Peter's the one that says, time out. They all were saying, we're not going to let you down. He's like, look, Peter took it a step further. These guys, they may let you down, not me. So he's like, hey, Pete, how's that working for you? How's that going for you, Peter? Peter, you're just like the other guys. You're no different. But the point is, he asked him to do something, and he could not be faithful to do that one request. And by the way, I don't question Peter's commitment to the Lord. I don't question anything about Peter when it comes between him and the Lord. But he wasn't careful. He made promises that he couldn't, that he did not keep. And by the way, you and I can also do that. You know, it's interesting. They were all willing to die for him, but they couldn't even stay awake and pray for him. I mean, I don't know about you if it's like, hey, here's your choice, right? You could die for me or you could pray for me. I'm pretty sure I'd pick the prayer part. But they couldn't do it. They did not do the things they said they would do. You know what I have found in Christians? The thing that starts them on the path to struggling in their life, they're not faithful to the things that they know that God wants them to do. You can have all the talent in the world. You can have everything. You know, look at that person and say, that person's the most likely to succeed. But if they cannot get down to a point where it's like they could just faithfully do the things they're supposed to do, I don't care how much talent they have. We have to be faithful. I know all kinds of people. They'll tell you, boy, I am just so committed to the Lord. And they can't even be committed to being faithful to their church. They miss services at the drop of a hat. They're not faithful to soul winning. They're not faithful in all of you. You just take any spiritual discipline. They struggle in it. They struggle with God's word and prayer in their life. They struggle in their life. One week they want to be a missionary to the toughest place on earth, and the next week you can't find them for a church service if the FBI is looking for them. Just up and down. You know what I prefer? I prefer steady. I prefer steady. I've been working in church a long time. Sometimes someone will visit the church and after one service say, this is the greatest church ever. I want to be a member. I want to get involved. This place is great. You know what that means? I'm never going to see them again. never going to, now unless they're transferring, they just moved into the area and they're transferring from another church. Because sometimes people like that are very emotional. And maybe someone has done it in the past. I'm not saying it's never. You know what I prefer? Someone that comes and like, I like this place. I think I'll come back. And they come back and then they start getting on board. They start going forward. You're someone that says, I don't understand a lot about my Bible, but I'm going to start reading it. And maybe it's just a chapter a day, right? And maybe they're not going to even read their Bible through in a year, but they're going to pretty faithfully read it. Because that person's building the building blocks that it takes to make it faithful. You don't have to be a super Christian, because fact of the matter is, there is no super Christian. Just be a faithful one. You know, we don't need super Sunday school teachers. We don't. You don't have to come in here and rip your thing and it says S. Okay? There's only one person that has that, and you know who it is. Me. Okay? Just kidding. And it doesn't stand for super. We don't need that. We just need someone that shows up. Someone that loves those children or teenagers or adults, whoever you're teaching, that will show up early. That will show up, love those kids. That will show up, teach that lesson. Yeah. You don't have to be a pastor. You'll make an impact. You just pick the ministry. God wants us to be faithful. Strive for faithfulness. Just strive to do what you need to do. You said that, by the way, there's always a reason not to. There is. I get it. But let's just be faithful. Yeah. If you want to be, just do what you know God wants you to do. I know sometimes people come, they'll be in church for a while, and this would be the case in any church. And sometimes they're just like, I just don't feel that same feeling I had when I first started coming to church. I just don't. A lot of times if you check, their faithfulness has kind of waned a little bit. They get tired. I get it. We all do. But let's just be faithful. Strive to be faithful. You don't have to be super talented. There's a lot of things you can't do, but I'll tell you one thing everybody can do. We can just be faithful. That was the first decision I ever made as a Christian. Brand new Christian, church 4 Sundays in a row, no clue what it meant to serve God, nothing. I just knew I wanted to do it, and so I just said, go into every service. That first Wednesday night, never been to a Wednesday night service in my life. No one in my family wanted to go with me. I got on my motorcycle. I rode there. I was kind of embarrassed because I didn't know hardly anybody. So I parked my motorcycle on the far side of the church. I went into the service. God blessed. And I came out. My motorcycle had a flat. And I had to push the thing 4 miles home. Like, I'm not doing this ever again. Forget that. No, faithful. Just show up. Yep. Next, strive to be watchful. Jesus told them. He said, watch and pray. But let's look at that part. Watch. What does watch mean? It has the idea of being spiritual, of being alert. Look around. Know what's going on. Watch. Be spiritually aware of what is going on. That's a big problem for Christians. Most of us walk through life with our eyes spiritually closed. We don't see the spiritual. We have enemies. You know that, right? Satan's our enemy. The world's our enemy. And not people, the world, but you know what I'm talking about. The society, their philosophies, all that stuff. And the world, Satan, and our flesh. We have enemies. And we have to be very careful that we keep our eyes open. Most Christians are clueless to that which is not good for them. They talk themselves out of it. Whether it's spiritual danger or it's things that start to creep into their life that they're not fixing and they're not willing to work on. We need to be spiritually alert. By the way, if someone came to you and said, hey, there's people that's been going through this, people going through this neighborhood and they've been breaking into houses, you'd be on alert. If you kind of thought, hey, maybe my house is the next, you'd be ready. Okay? If you have a gun, you'd have that thing. You know where it is. If you got a dog, put the dog in the right area. We're going to get this guy. We're going to catch. You'd be alert. Do you understand there's spiritual dangers everywhere? You have Satan that's after you. Do you think he's happy with what's going on in your life? We looked at Job this morning. Do you know the world? We do the world, and again, enemy, I get it. They are our enemy, but it's the philosophies and people that aren't saved just don't know better, but they're always trying to push those philosophies on you. Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And if you do do it for a right reason, they're going to mock you for it. That's okay. They're not our enemy. But we just got to stay straight. Yep. And then, if we can overcome that, we have our flesh. Our flesh just always wants to do what it wants to do. Yeah. And we have to be spiritually alert. Amen. Our media mocks everything that's righteous. You have entertainment that mocks God. You have technology at your fingertips. And with that technology, you can get in so much trouble. Yes, be careful. And I'm just, and I'll say this, we have really the worldliest brand of Christianity that this world has ever seen. We're so spiritually secure sometimes, we allow things that we should. Let's be spiritually alert. Let's make sure we stay close to God. One way to have your senses heightened is to make sure you're walking with God. To make sure you've got his word. We're looking at life through the lens and the filters of the truth of God, because that helps us to see things we may not see. I'm not a great fisherman, but when I go, I usually take Brother Ross, because he could catch fish he could catch fish anywhere. He could catch fish in an ice cube. So I figure if I always stand where he is, like if he's catching fish and I'm standing next to him, I'm going to catch him too. But we go to the rivers. We'll go to a little river, and they have these glasses. I don't know what they, I'm colorblind. I think they're yellow or gold. I mean, I'm talking about polarized. You put those things on there, and as you look into the water, you can kind of see through to where the fish are. I'm like, there they are. So why do you want to know where they're at? Because I want to catch them. I want someone else to eat them. But I can't, and I'm looking at the water like, maybe my eyesight too. And I'm like, I don't see them. You put that on, it's like, there they are right there. We're going after them. We see things we wouldn't normally see. You know, when you have your spiritual glasses on, you're going to see spiritual dangers you're not going to normally see. So the more spiritually dull we are, the more we are apt we are to get ourselves into trouble. So let's strive to be watchful. Let's strive to be prayerful. Verse 41. Watch and what? Pray. Watch and pray. One of the things that hurts us is when our relationship with God starts to struggle. Do you know a relationship is a communication thing, right? How does God communicate with us? Through his word. How do we communicate with God? Through prayer. We never talk to him. We're never asking for his help. You know, the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Do we ever pray those type of things? See, we're not spending time with God, we're not talking to him, and we're not asking for his help. So what's going to happen is we're not going to get his help. By the way, prayer is asking. The word prayer means to ask, and we're not willing to go to God. We're not willing to ask for his help. How are we going to get it? I wonder how much we've left on the table with God because we haven't asked for what we need. We like the phrase when it comes to our Bible and prayer, we call it walking with God, right? I wonder how many times God's walking alone because we're just not there. God's waiting there. It's like, you know, how many of you would like, you know, like, hey, let's go do this. I'll meet me at 6. And then how many of you have someone they didn't show up? Yeah. I'm here by myself. I wonder how many times God's waiting for us in the day to spend time with them. It's like, I'm here. I'm waiting. Let's make sure we spend time in prayer. Yes, I'm glad Peter had the commitment to say, I'm going to give my life for God. And by the way, before we dump on Peter too much, Peter did give his life for God. He had some issues. He got there. But maybe if he had prayed as much as he committed, maybe it would have been easier for him to follow through on his commitment. Pray. And then it says, and then in verse 41 it says, he tells us very specifically what we're not supposed to enter to. He says, he says that ye enter not into temptation. What's he saying? We ought to strive to be careful. We just went over a whole lesson on Thursday night, so I won't belabor the point that we are to be careful about temptation. That's where the flesh is the strongest. Yeah, we can blame, the devil made me do it. Well, he had a lot of help. You helped him. We know where God is, where Satan's going to come after. We know it. Just read James. We're tempted when we're drawn away and we're enticed of our own what? Lust, our desires. Those things that we struggle with in our life that we know are wrong and we know that that's our weakness. Well, that's okay to have a weakness, but you know your weakness so you can shore yourself up or you can stay away from that which would feed your weakness. If you have a weakness in this area, stay away from it. If you have a weakness in a certain area, shore that thing up. Get some accountability. Do whatever it is you have to do. But let's be careful. We cannot be sloppy in our Christianity. And we are so sloppy. I just love Jesus and that's all there is to it. That's great, but what are you doing to make sure you live for Jesus? I don't care how much a person says they love Jesus if they're not living for Jesus. Okay? That doesn't work. It's not just some bumper sticker. It's not just what you say. And I get it. We're like Peter, okay? It's easier for us to say something than to actually follow through on it. I understand that. But why don't we be careful about things so that we can follow through on what we need to do? Let's be very careful. We're going to be tempted. You'll be tempted to be on all these different things. Verse 41, he says, the spirit indeed is what?
Willing.
What's that mean? Strive to be purposeful. Let me explain that. The spirit being willing means that we have an inward willingness to do what we are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think any single one of these men, when they said that they would give their lives for Christ, I don't think they were lying because they all ended up doing it. When they said that they would be here for them, they would be here for him, and they would not forsake him, I don't think they were just blowing smoke, to be real honest with you. I think in their heart, they were willing to do that. But, you know, there's a big difference between being willing and having the purpose to follow through on that. There was a song, I don't know where I heard it before. It's like, good intentions. I'm not going to sing it because that'd be painful for everybody. Good intentions are not enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Every Christian has good intentions. I think if we have any ounce of spirituality at all, we want to do the right thing. But you have to go past that.
Yeah.
That's just step one. We'll have youth conference here in a week. God will speak to some kids. If your parents won't interfere, God's going to speak to some of them. They'll make commitments. But that's, and we'll rejoice. We want them to make commitments. God's calling me to do this, or God has spoke to me about this in my life, and this is what I want to do. And I'm not just thinking it. I'm willing to write it down and say, I'm committing to this. And we're like, yay, and I'm all for that. But what happens Thursday when youth conference is over? By the way, there's some of you made commitments to God in the past and you've bailed on them. And you didn't mean to. You were sincere when you made that commitment to God because your spirit was willing. But you got to follow through. You have to what are we going to do to make that happen? Okay? And that's, you know, it's like I'm a planner, I'm an organizer, I want things done. And it's not just enough to say, hey guys, let's do this. Then it all comes down to sitting down and saying, how's it going to happen? What do we got to do to put this into place? We need that in our life. You know, it's like, look, it can't just be really nothing more than a spiritual New Year's Eve resolution, New Year's Day resolution. Okay? I'm going to lose weight. Don't say that on January 1st. Because we're all eating on January 1st. I want to be healthier. Okay, how? What are you going to do now? Well, I bought a pair of tennis shoes. They're sitting in my closet. I dust them every other week. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't, you've got to have a purpose. Make a commitment, but make sure you do it. People talk a lot more than they back it up. Right. How many of you like basketball? I don't even remember the guy's name. There was a guy, I know he played for Portland. He was a defender. And he called himself the Kobe Stopper. He goes, I'm going to stop him. And they played him. I think Kobe scored like 35 points. And Shaq said, yep, he stopped him from scoring 40. Okay? Talk is cheap. I'm sure he wanted to stop him. What have you said in the past? This is what I want to accomplish as a Christian. Here's what I want to do. That's great. That's willing. But it has to become a purpose. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? And then lastly, strive to be mindful. Here's why being willing is not enough. Verse 41. The spirit is willing, but what's the next part? The flesh is weak. It's going to hit you right upside the head, you know. I always think of the prodigal son when he went home. Here's a guy that lived the party life. You know, he had drug dealer hours, Pastor Esposito used to call him. Hadn't worked, wasted his money, was in the pig pens, out of shape, sick, all that stuff. He comes home. They have a party for him. But do you know what happened the next day? The alarm clock went off. It was time to get back into the fields. I wonder how easy that was. I'm just going to come home to my dad. Guess what? You get one party. We had the party. You're home. Tomorrow, the field needs to be plowed. It's always gonna go back to gotta do something. And the flesh is weak, and so you have to fight it. And a lot of times, we don't like that. We like the emotional part. We like all of that. Lord, I'm with you. I'll die with you. But you know what? Those can be just words. It's going to have to. The flesh is weak. You've got to be willing to do it. In our mind, we got to say, I'm going to do it. Where are you at today? And I'm not saying we're disappointing the Lord. And I'm saying this was a momentary thing for them. But if we're going to make it, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be watchful. We've got to be prayerful, careful, purposeful, mindful. There's things we have to do if we're going to make it. I'm just tired of a brand of Christianity and character that says something but won't follow through. Remember our building theme last year was follow through. We got to get going. Are you following through on your Christian life? Now, by the way, I get it. All of us have, we set our goals sometimes so high and we struggle, but are you on your way there? Are you going forward? Or are you struggling? Maybe we just need to follow through on what we're supposed to do. Yes, we need to be committed. Yes, we need to say, this is what I'm going to do, but we have to take the steps necessary. We have to block out the things that'll stop us. We're going to do the things that are energizing us, and we need to look ahead, realizing it's going to take some effort.
Yes, sir.
Let's stand together this evening, early evening. Let's stand together if we may. All of us, because of the last part, we are in the flesh. We have a tendency to get weak at times. But you know how you overcome weakness? Spend time with God and just do what you're supposed to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. Let's not just talk the talk. Let's not be so spiritually, just so emotional that we allow ourselves this little roller coaster ride. And I get it. Sometimes we do. We have a little bit of a, I'm not saying everything's always up on the mountain. Totally understand that. But we're in the valley. Let's do what we did to get us to the mountain. Let's not let that stop us. Let's make sure we're being alert and aware of what is going on around us. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come?